Thursday, August 9th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. I am coming to you from the Mile High City. We are right here in Denver, Colorado. And you know, if you are tired of the same old sports talk, the arguments, the callers that yell into their phones, just hang out here for a while. You're going to like it a little bit better. You know, we talk sports with a dose of common sense. We prefer just to laugh at the world of sports because actually, when you look at it, a lot of it's actually pretty funny. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. Hope that your week is going well. The weekend is slowly coming into view. That's always a positive thing. And especially this weekend, we do have just a glimmer, just a touch of some football coming this weekend. We're going to talk a little bit of football today on the show. Hey, you know, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe let us know how your week is going. Maybe let us know which events you are looking forward to this weekend. We would love to hear from you. You can email us, dailydosports@gmail.com, or reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. If you got a suggestion, maybe you have a top five you'd like us to cover, maybe you need a little advice, we would love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out. You know, we've got a lot to get to today. There are a couple of stories that are coming out. Have to make sure that we cover those. And you know, as we have done all week, we are looking at a few surprises that could be coming to us this year in the world of football. We have looked at some players that could surprise us this week. We have looked at some teams that maybe could be a little bit better than what we might think they would be going into this year. Today, we're going to look at something a little bit different. Make sure that you stick around for that. Okay, so I'm going to have to give some credit today to an entity that honestly, we never give credit to. And to be fair, some of the reason that I am going to give them credit is a little bit selfish just for me personally. You know, the NCAA is in the business of helping young adults advance in their lives through athletics. And when I say the word helping, I guess what I mean is hurting. But wait for this. The NCAA has actually done something positive. Now, you know, we have been saying for a long time here on The Dose that the NCAA needs to rethink a few of their collegiate eligibility problems. You know, if you have a player that declares themselves eligible for the draft and they don't get drafted, why in the world would you ban them from coming back to school? Why can't they go back and participate? What bizarre border have they crossed? What point of no return have they stepped over? I've never been able to figure that out. It doesn't make any sense. You know, maybe these players got bad advice. Maybe they were just hoping and praying they would get drafted because they need the help financially. But if they don't get drafted, why would the NCAA just cut them loose? Why would they not let them come back? They obviously need help. Let them go back. The other thing that we've discussed here on The Dose is that if you want to get rid of some of these shady agents that are promising these players all kinds of things, giving them dirty money, they're all kinds of slimy, they're trying to steer them places so that they can make money off of these young kids, why don't you just get rid of the slimy agents by allowing players to sign with legitimate agents that actually have some integrity? You know, if that legitimate agent wants to spot them a little cash, hey, that's their problem. That's not the NCAA's problem. That's the agent's problem. And if the agent is taking that risk and saying, I think eventually you're going to be able to pay this off, hey, that's up to the agent. That certainly isn't anything for the NCAA to concern itself with. We've been saying these things here on The Dose now for a few years. Well, yesterday, it was actually announced that the NCAA has adopted a series of policy and rule changes that is going to clean up, they hope, college basketball. We know college basketball has gone through some things just recently. We know about the FBI investigation and a few other corruption allegations against college basketball coaches, college basketball players, college basketball teams. There have been a few things out there, specifically in the world of NCAA hoops. Now, among the significant changes that were adopted by the NCAA's Board of Governors and the Division I Board of Directors are allowing elite high school basketball recruits and players to be represented by agents who are certified by the NCAA while they are still playing. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Who'd have thought of that? They also say they will allow players to enter the NBA draft and then return to school if undrafted. Again, pretty amazing. A couple of the other rules that are going to be on there, they're going to introduce more rigorous certification requirements for summer basketball-related events. I think that's a very good idea. And there would be longer postseason bans, head coach suspensions, and increased recruiting restrictions for college coaches who break the rules. I'm fine with those things too. Now, does this fix everything in college hoops? No, I don't think it does. Should players get paid to play collegiately? I think that is such a complex issue, and I know there are a number of talking hairdos out there that just say, oh, you just have to start paying them. It is such a complex issue. It is so much more complicated than what people try to make it. They just act like, well, hey, just cut everybody a check. It is not that easy. There are no easy answers when it comes to should we pay these collegiate athletes. That is a huge can of worms that you would be opening. But I do think this. I think these rule changes could at least help what is a very complicated process. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think these rule changes that they're putting in, they probably do help some of these young kids. What a wild concept from a group that is supposed to be in the business of helping kids, isn't it? Who'd have thought that? I had no idea they were even capable of such things. You know what it makes me wonder? It just makes me wonder. Maybe the NCAA is listening to the Daily Dose. I don't know. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me. Because we've seen them for years not make any sense in some of the decisions and some of the rules they've instituted. When you're penalizing a school because the kid got cream cheese on his bagel, that tells me they might not have the kid's best interest at heart. But then they go and do something like this. I mean, what's changed? Well, unless they're listening to the Daily Dose and they're starting to figure some things out. You know, one thing coming out in the NBA, and that is that the 2018-2019 NBA schedule, it is kind of being leaked out according to a few sources. So a few games that are coming out. They say that the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James are going to open versus Houston, opening night in the NBA. And it looks like there are going to be 5 games on Christmas Day. 5 games? Really? That's a lot of games. Like, that's first thing in the morning. You know when you don't want to get up, but your kids made you get up? That's from then until you go to bed at night. Like, 5 games, that's a lot of games. Here are the 5 games that they say are going to be shown this coming Christmas from the NBA. We have the Philadelphia Sixers going to Boston to face the Celtics. That's not bad. You have the Portland Trailblazers going to Utah to play the Jazz. The New York Knicks are going to go to Milwaukee. So here's just a little top of the head advice for you. If you're going to open your presents or maybe you're going to have a huge dinner on Christmas, go ahead and schedule that stuff during the Knicks versus Milwaukee game. Because who cares? No one's watching that garbage. You also have the Oklahoma City Thunder going to Houston to play the Rockets. And then they say the primetime game is going to be the Los Angeles Lakers going to Golden State to face the Warriors. You know how they do those Christmas in June or July sales? And it's like the middle of summer and they're like, hey, come on down, Christmas in June. And they have those goofy sales. This is almost exactly the opposite. Hey, come on down. See LeBron James get beat by the Warriors just like he does every summer. But this time we're going to do it on Christmas Day. It's like a new tradition. It's kind of catchy. I like it. I think it's a good idea. Hey, coming back, we are going to continue our look this week at football teams that could surprise us this coming season. You know, yesterday we talked about a few teams that could be better than what anyone is expecting. Yeah, we're not going to do that today. So, you know, on Tuesday this week on The Dose, we talked about some players that could be a little bit better than maybe we think. We also looked at a few NFL players that might not be as good as their expectations might be. Then yesterday, we looked at both NFL and college football teams that could be better than we expect. Today, we're going to change things up a little bit. We're going to be looking at a few teams that might be getting a little too much hype heading into this season. And remember, you don't always want to believe all the hype.
Don't believe the hype!
We're going to start off in the NFL today. And we're going to take a look at a few teams that might not be quite as good as what everyone is expecting. First team up. And I swear, I'm not spinning all sorts of doom and gloom for this team. The future might be very bright for them. But I do expect them to suffer a few growing pains this year because the Kansas City Chiefs, they allowed veteran quarterback Alex Smith to leave because they have so much confidence in second-year man Patrick Mahomes. Hey, there's no question. He has a ton of physical tools. Last season, he played just one game. He played against the Denver Broncos in Week 16, and he showed some flashes of what he could be. He went 22 for 35. He had 284 yards. Didn't have any touchdowns. He had an interception. So it looks like Patrick Mahomes could be the long-term answer in Kansas City, right? I mean, looking at that rate, what he did against Denver, he's going to be throwing for nearly 5,000 yards this year, right? Yet, don't underestimate how good Alex Smith actually is. I know he's not flashy, and we know he struggles in the postseason, it seems like, every single year. But Alex Smith was very solid. Alex Smith was very steady, and you know, he didn't make huge mistakes. Last season, Alex Smith threw 26 touchdowns. He had just 5 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes is going to throw some interceptions. He's going to make mistakes. Like I said, he's going to have some growing pains. And you know, NFL defenses are going to try to make sure of that. The Chiefs might be better off long-term with Mahomes in the lineup. We'll see. I mean, the jury's still out. We don't know that yet. But they may have some bumps in the road along the way to get there, because it's not all going to be gravy for Mahomes this year. And it's not all going to be easy for the Chiefs this year either. Next team up, and I know this is the hot, popular team to pick this year, but I'm warning you, be very careful, because this roster still has a lot of holes. And they all kind of got glossed over after last season. Because in 2017, the San Francisco 49ers started off the year 0-9. And then they went out and they made that trade for quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, and the Niners got red hot. They won 6 of their final 7 games. They were one of the hottest teams in the league late last season. And so now, everyone's coming back this season. And what do we all do when we start previewing the season? When we start predicting what's going to happen? We just look at the very last weeks of last year and we say, oh yeah, that's just going to happen again. Yeah, I'm not so sure. A number of people are looking at the San Francisco 49ers as a contender in the NFC. Hey, the expectations are going to be very different this year. And that can mess with a team's psyche. San Francisco and Jimmy Garoppolo open the season at Minnesota. Okay, that's a pretty tough game, but hey, the pressure in that game is going to be all on Minnesota, right? So maybe you win, maybe you lose, who knows? The pressure's on Minnesota. Maybe San Francisco goes in there and plays with house money and gets a steal. Then they get Detroit at home. You better win that game. It might be tougher than you think. Then they go to Kansas City. Then they go play the Chargers in Los Angeles. Hey, don't start the season off 1-3 or even worse, 0-4. Defenses are going to be taking things away from Jimmy Garoppolo. And you know what? I'm not sure the rest of this roster is truly capable of playing at such a high level for 16 games. Yeah, they did it for 6 games last year. 16's a little bit different. Their running game is not very good. And that San Francisco defense needs some significant work. The San Francisco 49ers could take a step back this year until they fill in a few more spots on that roster. I like the direction they're going. I wouldn't be penciling them into the Super Bowl quite yet. The next team up, and I really like this team's defense, and so it's easy to see why they are being talked about as a Super Bowl contender, but the Jacksonville Jaguars could still have some trouble this year. First, as good as that defense was, and it was very good, it is sometimes hard to match that same quality in another season. Things change. Personnel changes. Mentality changes. Goals change. Egos change. Don't forget that a number of teams in the NFL set out this offseason to solve that Jacksonville Jaguars defense. How can we attack them? What can we do that gives them problems? Then, of course, we add into the equation the fact that the Jaguars offense has a number of questions, not the least of which is that quarterback, Blake Bortles. You know, Blake Bortles actually rated last year below Josh McCown, below Tyrod Taylor, and below Andy Dalton. Hey, teams are going to stack the box. They are going to make Blake Bortles prove he can throw it again and again. And I'm not sure he can. Unlike last year, no one is sleeping on the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. They are going to get everyone's best effort. The Jags are going to have to prove they can take everyone's best shot. We'll see if they're up to it. I'm not sure they are. You know, I'm not saying this next team has high expectations. I'm really not, because they aren't very high. I'm just saying they're probably still not going to reach whatever expectations are on them, because the Arizona Cardinals might be truly awful this year. Their offensive line allowed, and I'm going to say this clearly so you don't mistake it, the Arizona Cardinals offensive line allowed 52 sacks last season. And now they're protecting Sam Bradford. He's like made of glass anyways. This isn't going to be good for Sam Bradford. This isn't going to be good for anyone. And then what? Mike Glennon? He's not very good. And then what? Rookie Josh Rosen, who has not always proven to be the most durable. And that was in the collegiate game in the Pac-12. That's not going to be the same. That's going to be a little bit different as opposed to when you're facing, I don't know, the Los Angeles Rams. The Arizona Cardinals defense took a step back last season too. That's not a good sign either. The Arizona Cardinals could be in for a rough season. I know that their over-under, I think, is only like maybe 6 games. I might bet the under on that team. I think they're going to have some quarterbacks looking at a medical plan. You know, the Seattle Seahawks are just 5 years from winning a Super Bowl. They are just 4 years from almost winning another Super Bowl. But then they didn't win that Super Bowl. And then it kind of seems like the Seahawks have been on a downward spiral ever since. They are losing a number of players from those championship teams, and they just lost a few more this past offseason. Michael Bennett is gone. Jimmy Graham is gone. Thomas Rawls, Paul Richardson, Sheldon Richardson, Richard Sherman, all gone. Safety Earl Thomas wants to be gone. There are rumors that he could be headed maybe to Dallas. That offensive line in Seattle is a mess. They are asking so much of quarterback Russell Wilson. He doesn't have much help now. Wide receiver Doug Baldwin is already banged up this year. This team is losing too much talent to maintain the level of play that they have had over the past few seasons. And I'm saying this right now. Don't be surprised when you hear it. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Head coach Pete Carroll, he could be in some trouble. And that is bizarre to even think that. But he could be in some trouble because the Seattle Seahawks seem like they just keep getting worse. Another team that looks like they're getting worse this year is the Buffalo Bills, who made the playoffs for the first time last year since 1999. So there are like full-grown adults that never saw the Buffalo Bills ever be in the postseason until last year. Now, the Bills went 9-7 last season by running the ball and by playing very tough defense. And that Buffalo Bills mafia was fired up when they finally made the postseason. Because the Bills were young. Maybe they would be good for more than just 1 year. Maybe they would be good for a while. But then in the offseason, they lost 3 starting offensive linemen. Cordy Glenn was traded. Richie Incognito and Eric Wood both retired. Quarterback Tyrod Taylor left via free agency. So the Bills went and got free agent AJ McCarron to be the starter, and they drafted rookie Josh Allen. Now, I know Tyrod Taylor is kind of like the equivalent of Alex Smith. I know he's too conservative. I know people get down on him because he doesn't throw the ball down the field, but he also doesn't make big mistakes. We also, going into the season, we're not exactly sure what the status is for running back LeSean McCoy. At the end of the day, the Buffalo Bills still play in the AFC East. We all know who's winning that division. It's going to be the New England Patriots again, like it has been for, I don't know, the last 10, 15 years. I don't like the look of this Buffalo Bills team heading into the season. And if they think they're just going to waltz right back into the playoffs, yeah, they might be disappointed. Our final NFL team that might struggle to live up to the expectations is a team with the most talented quarterback in the NFL. And no, I don't worry one bit about Aaron Rodgers. I worry about the rest of the Green Bay Packers roster. Now, the Las Vegas over-under for the Green Bay Packers this year is 10 games. I'm not sure the Green Bay Packers are winning 11 games. Especially when they're going to be playing a much tougher schedule. And that NFC North, it's getting tight. It's getting competitive. Now, the Packers did go out and add tight end Jimmy Graham this year. And you know Aaron Rodgers has to be excited about that because he finally has someone to throw to. But they did also lose Aaron Rodgers' buddy, Jordy Nelson, and Aaron Rodgers was not happy about that, and he has let that be known. The offensive line is not great again. And that defense is very soft, especially the pass defense. So when they face that very tough schedule, and they see guys like Matt Stafford, and Jared Goff, and Matt Ryan, the pressure is all going to be on who? Aaron Rodgers again. He is going to have to carry the Green Bay Packers. I'm not sure he can do that 11 times in 2018. Hey, I'm not saying the Packers are going to be bad. I'm not saying that. There's a few teams on here. I'm not saying they're going to be bad. I'm just not sure they're going to be as high as the expectations are. I'm not sure Green Bay can win more than 10 games. I think they're an 8-8, 9-7 kind of team. I think they come in a little bit under expectations. Hey, coming back, we have to continue to look at a few teams that might struggle to be as good as people are saying they're going to be. But when we come back, we're going to switch over to the world of college football. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. August Loot Crate theme is out. It is called Mayhem because wherever they go, mayhem seems to follow. Celebrate some of your favorite havoc-wreaking characters and chaotic moments with exclusive gear and collectibles from Rick and Morty, Office Space, Harley Quinn, and DC Comics. But if you're not interested in any of those franchises, trust me, go over to Loot Crate because they have just about any TV show, movie, or video game that you can think of. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning in to the Daily Dose. Okay, so you know, college football has so many teams that have high expectations every single season. We have fan bases that have been spoiled by the successes that they had clear back in sometimes the 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s. Back in those days, you could just stockpile recruits and just roll out more and more talent every single year. Now, the teams I'm talking about today, again, I'm not going to go down to the small conference and say, well, hey, look at this team. I don't know if you realize this, but the Bowling Green Falcons might struggle this year. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about teams that might be looking to contend in their conference, in a big conference, or some of them might even be looking to contend for maybe a national championship this year. And I'm just saying, if that is their thinking, yeah, they might be very disappointed. First team up is a team that definitely got spoiled back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, because remember the days of Johnny Rogers and Mike Rozier and Turner Gill and Irving Fryer and Tommy Frazier and Lawrence Phillips and the women that Lawrence Phillips was beating up. Remember those days, because Cornhusker fans do, darn it. And while they don't condone the beating of the women, exactly, they do miss those Lawrence Phillips days. When was the last time that Nebraska had a good woman beater? Sorry, my bad. When was the last time Nebraska had a big time running back? Hey, it's been a while. Last year, Nebraska went 4-8. 4-8 for Nebraska? So then they went out and they brought back former Husker Scott Frost to be head coach. He's been down at Central Florida winning whatever pretend national titles or whatever. Now, I like Scott Frost a lot. I really do. And I think he has to be better in Lincoln than, you know, Mike Riley or Bo Pelini or Bill Callahan. But it is going to be rough to rebuild this program. The problem is that Nebraska fans are already starting to get pretty ramped up. They're already thinking about Big Ten titles and we're going to get back in the national championship picture. Hey, be patient, because it might not be that easy. You have to recruit Texas and California at Nebraska. And the problem now that you're in the Big Ten, you're not in Texas and California anymore. Add to that this year, Nebraska's schedule is going to be tough. Nebraska has to go to Michigan, to Wisconsin, and to Ohio State, and then they get Michigan State at home. I think Nebraska will be better in time. They're not going to be contending for any titles this year, and it is going to take some time for Scott Frost to get things going. Can he make Nebraska what they once were? I don't know if that's ever going to happen again. That was just a weird situation at that time where they could stockpile talent. I'm not sure those days ever come back, but I think they can be back in contention again at some point. Next team up, you know, last year, the Florida State Seminole season looked like it might be destined for greatness for about three quarters of their opening game, because Florida State was hanging with Alabama in that season opener. Hey, this might be their year again. They might be going to a title again. And then it all unraveled quickly. Starting quarterback DeAndre Francois went down with a season-ending injury, and then things got worse because the Seminoles ended up going 7-6 and they broke down completely. They broke down competitively. There were times Florida State quit last year. Eventually, head coach Jimbo Fisher was gone from Tallahassee. Now, Willie Taggart comes into town, and the Seminoles are already talking about getting back into national contention. Again, it may happen in time, but it's going to be tough this season for a few reasons. One, we still don't know who Florida State's quarterback is going to be. DeAndre Francois is battling with James Blackman for the starting job. Second, that defense last year was extremely talented. No, they weren't very consistent, but they were talented. And they lost 7 of their top players. Last, again, that schedule is tough. At Miami, at North Carolina State, at Notre Dame. And they close out the season at home against what should be an improved Florida team. Hey, if somehow Florida State wins double-digit games this year, they will have earned it because it's going to be very, very tough. Another team that could have easily been playing for a national title last year, but they just let a few opportunities get away from them, is Penn State. Remember, they were up 35-20 on Ohio State in the fourth quarter in Columbus, and then they lost 39-38. Then the next week, they lost to Michigan State after a 3.5-hour weather delay. And that pretty much ended any chance that Penn State had for a national title. Hey, but this season, they're going to be back. Head coach James Franklin, he has done a great job recruiting. He still has quarterback Trace McSorley. The Nittany Lions should be right in the thick of it again, shouldn't they? It's not going to be that easy. Penn State lost 12 starters, and most all of them were on the defensive side of the ball. And the offense is going to be pretty tough, but they have to feel the loss of Saquon Barkley, don't they? Because he contributed in the passing game. He contributed in the running game. Oh yeah, and he also contributed on special teams. I don't think Penn State's going to be bad, just not as good as they were last year. Our final team that we're going to talk about. And it is time right now for you all to turn off the podcast and say, okay, Clint, you're completely out of your mind. Don't turn off the podcast. Let it play. It's going to be fine. I'm just going to say this though. And again, I'm not saying this team is going to be terrible. I am just saying it is going to be tougher for them than people might think. Because yes, the Alabama Crimson Tide are once again the big dog to beat. I'm not denying that at all. But don't forget, Alabama lost 9 starters on that defense. I know. Alabama doesn't rebuild. Nick Saban just reloads, and they just roll another group of All-Americans out there. I get it. But think back to how many injuries Alabama had to overcome last year. Hey, they better stay healthy this year. Think back to how many huge plays guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick made last year. He always seemed to be in the right place at the right time. Hey, he's gone now. And a lot of those other players are too. And Alabama has to replace both their kicker and their punter. I don't know. Do you think maybe a game this season could come down to special teams? It just might. We know that the quarterback job in Alabama is still up in the air. Hey, I still think Alabama is going to be in the thick of things nationally. But could it be a little tougher for them this year? Yeah, I think it could. Is it possible that Alabama could take a small step back and maybe stumble somewhere along the way this year? Yeah, I absolutely think they could. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, and of course, we will be taking a look at the latest sports news and stories. We will also have our weekend preview in sports. We do have just a touch of football coming up this weekend. That kind of makes me excited. Plus, as we do on most every single Friday, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5, a staple of the show since we began. You know that you've got to tune in for the Top 5. Always entertaining, sometimes informative. You know you have to tune in for the Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions and the suggestions. Thank you so much for sharing the show. It is all very appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.